You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The mission of Idaho's Wasmuth Center for Human Rights is to promote respect for human dignity and diversity through education and to also foster individual responsibility to work for justice and peace. And one way the center accomplishes that goal is through its international outreach program, where staff members and volunteers travel to other parts of the world to help with human rights education as well as outreach. Dr. Dan Prinzing, the executive director of the Wasmuth Center, is joining me live in studio today to talk more about this program. Welcome.
Thank you, Gemma.
So you have traveled throughout the world, and it's really to bring, you know, human rights education to other areas through this outreach program. Tell me about the program and why you started it.
Well, I'd like to almost piggyback on to the previous segment talking about education in the state of Idaho. A lot of this international outreach really began because I am a career educator. And I've always had the belief that students need to be more aware of the world. Idaho is an isolated state. We're an insular state. And so it's really that commitment to how do we bring the world into our classrooms? Mm. Well, we do so by providing opportunities for students, teachers, and the community at large to experience and see other countries and cultures.
And you actually take, when you say students, I mean, these are like high school students that go on some of these,
yes,
these trips.
Yes. So, for instance, in March, we'll be going to Cambodia. We have an ongoing program called Pedals and Packs. It is a donor-funded program where we provide bicycles and backpacks to keep village children going to school in Cambodia. The dropout rate is at fifth grade.
Really?
And often that's because of the distance from the village to the secondary school. Student may have to walk up to 15 miles to get to school, so they drop out. They quit going. When we first discovered that, we said, okay, we can step in and make a difference by providing a bicycle. It keeps a student on the road to an education. And I say that literally.
It literally does.
On the road, but also keeps them from cutting through minefields to get to there, because there are still 4 to 5 million line mines in Cambodia.
So it keeps them safe.
Keeps them safe. And so last year alone, because of the support we received from donors, we placed 310 bicycles in the hands of children. This March, we return. We have a high school student going with the delegation, a delegation of 19. That will be going from March 15th to 24th. We'll be distributing 150 bicycles just during that delegation week.
How long have you been doing this program in Cambodia, and how did you find that this was such a need?
This is our fifth year. Each year, the program has grown in the number of bicycles we're distributing and also the interest in the program itself. We have schools throughout Idaho that are fundraising to support. Students want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. People want to make a difference. And when they know that for $50, they are putting a bicycle and a backpack to keep a child in school, it becomes a motivating force. Yes, it's a feel-good, but they know they're making a difference in the life of that student. We discovered that because annually, as a fundraiser, the Wasmuth Center goes on cultural encounters. We take our donor base, different countries, different cultures, just to experience it through a human rights framework. We've been to Cuba. We've been to Jordan, Israel. We've been Latin America. This last year, we were in Portugal, northern Spain, the Basque Country. This year, we're going to Vietnam, so folks can still find out more about that. But it was on a cultural encounter to Myanmar, Thailand, and Cambodia that Pedals and Packs was born. We saw the need firsthand, and we said, let's create something to make a difference.
And this was one of those ways.
And this was one of the ways. And that's what I loved about it is people have asked us, well, where did you, you know, who sponsors this program? How did you get involved? And I said, no, we created this program. And it was literally in the moment while we were in Cambodia, and those that were participating in the cultural encounter, they said, Dan, we got to do something. And that's how we gave birth to Pedals and Packs. We found out with our partner on the ground there where we could purchase the bicycles, how we could distribute them to the schools, picking the schools where our partner in Cambodia helps to select the students who are receiving. These are students that are either they live the greatest distance from school, or they may be the top students in their class, or they may be real struggling. So for some, it's a reward. For others, it's an incentive. The main goal, we want to keep them going to school.
Well, what's interesting to me, too, is it is a simple solution.
Simple solution.
And when we look at our society and versus, you know, kids in Cambodia, and when the dropout rate is fifth grade, I mean, yes, we talk about our go-on rates here.
Yes.
And when we talk about our country, this is something serious.
Yes.
But we do not see numerous amounts of children dropping out of school in the fifth grade in the United States.
And
it happens, but not
And what
to
is
that
the
level.
Economic opportunity
right.
in Cambodia? If you drop out, if you're not in agriculture, the student has options of prostitution or drug trafficking. And so we said, we've got to keep them going on in school. It increases the likelihood, not only for that student himself, it's for the family, it's for the village, it is the growth of the country. We're talking about a country that's in a post-genocide. And so to see that we can make a direct impact. I love the stories. We have teachers in the state which will actually place a mason jar on the teacher's desk. They talk about the value of education. At the end of the break, students in the class will drop their extra change into the mason jar. At $50, they know they have just purchased a bicycle for keep a school.
So, and it's such a simple thing, like simple I said. Thing. I'm speaking with Dr. Dan Prinzing. He is the executive director of the Wasma Center for Human Rights. Also, tell me about the program. You have another program, and this is in Mozambique, where the program sponsors girls. So talk to me a bit more about this. And is this a program that the center created as well?
Likewise, yes. So another cultural encounter. We took a group of donors. We went to South Africa to retrace Mandela steps. We went on to Mozambique to see Gorongosa National Park and the work that Greg Carr is doing there in restoring not only the park, but really working in the surrounding villages that bordered the park. While we were there, we heard a critical need. Here are young girls, ages 13, 14, being forced into early marriage. The family cannot afford the fees to send them to secondary school, so the girls are dropping out, forced early marriage. And at that point, donors said, Dan, we've got to do something. And so we created Each One, Teach One. And so we have individual donors that are sponsoring a young lady to get through secondary school. Research is there. If the young lady can finish her secondary school, not only will she be better off, her children will be better off, the village will be better off. And so we started with a cadre of 10 girls. Now we're up to a cadre of 20 girls that each year the program continues to grow. Well, how's it growing? This year, again, we're taking a delegation to Mozambique. We will see the park, yes, and all the work that is being done in restoring the national park, but also will go into the villages. And that is a program where folks can still register. It'll be going May 26th through June 3rd. If folks have interest on that, they should just call the center at 208-345-0304. It's not too late to register for that. Two nights in South Africa, retracing Mandela steps in Johannesburg, Soweto, and then six nights in Gorongosa National Park.
You know, there may be some people who wonder, well, you know, of course, we need to help people in other countries, yet we still have crises here in our country. And, you know, how do you respond to something like that? Because when we talk about human rights, you know, we see many more human rights violations, it seems, in other countries, yet we do have issues right here.
Yes, that's a great question. And it's one that comes back to us. I always bring it back. Of course, the Wasma Center is the builder in the home of the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial. If I can read it in the memorial, that's what shapes our work. Well, the memorial is one of the few places in the world where we have the full text of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Here is an international document. And I said, when I look at that, we need to know something about the world. If this is a universal document, it means the same in other countries as it means here. And so that's where our donors really come in. Our supporters look at that and say, okay, we do need to care for each other, not only within our own community, but in our world community. And that's what really gives birth to these programs, that how can we make a difference? For some, it's going to be time. For others, it's going to be treasure. If for some, it may be in their own neighborhood. For some, it may be worldwide. The idea being, though, that how do we connect with other people? What I love out of these programs is this upswell of empathy. I begin to understand, and when you see these young ladies in Mozambique, you want them to finish their education. And it's that value that we bring home to. And I think it also shapes our work with. And as you said it, our mission, we're dedicated to education. Mm-hmm. How can we keep informing not only our own base, but a worldwide and the value of human dignity?
And, you know, I think one of the things that your center does so well is engaging with students and with kids. And this, and it's not just high school students. I mean, the high school students, of course, are the ones going on the trips and all of that. But how critical is it with the engagement of young children to start having these conversations?
That's, you know, and I see that so often, as we talked about with Petals and Packs and what's being done in Idaho classrooms to support their program. But then in actually going to Cambodia, it becomes this intergenerational experience, because we'll have high school students traveling with college students, traveling with retired adults. We're all in one group. We become almost like a traveling family. We limit the size of our groups. There is an intimacy to the experience with it, because we're not going to just, I always liken it, you don't stand outside the window just looking in when you travel. You walk through the door. We get in, we meet the people, we interact with the people. We don't just talk about the situations we want to experience, we want to see firsthand. And that's what we're doing in Cambodia, that's what we do in Mozambique. Yes, Ngorongoro National Park, it's a comfortable, it's a phenomenal, the safari, mm-hmm. the wildlife. But now, let's cross the river and go into the border villages. Let's meet the people. And there's something to be said when you're surrounded by the little children. You cannot help but be touched by what you're seeing, what you're feeling with it, and you do want to make a difference.
And when you go to Vietnam this year, yeah. what is the hope and the goal? I mean, you're going to come back with another program potentially?
The board is always very cautious with that. We look at how much work can we continue with it. I think it really speaks to, and so much in our cultural encounters. So we'll be in Vietnam October 23rd to November 5th. There are countries that are significant in a human rights story. And I think even as Americans, our history is intertwined with Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And to come and understand the events in Southeast Asia, how it has impacted us, I think it's something we have to see. And so that's what I love about our donor base when they select to travel with us. They're all passionate. They're widely read. They're interested. They have that human rights framework. And that's how we go into another country. And so that's why I invite. We're just taking reservations, registrations for that program. Because these are folks that want to see Vietnam, but through our lens. Mm. What can we learn from it? Communist country? But it's one that it's reaching out in a connectedness, even with the United States. I get the stories of how many Vietnam veterans have gone back to Vietnam to see it in a different light, not through the eyes of war. And to meet with the people that had once been the enemy.
And last question, if people are so moved, especially with the program in Cambodia, can people donate, sponsor?
Totally. So all the information posted on our website, wasmacenter.org. Call 208-345-0304. We can talk about any of the programs. PedalsandPacks.org. We created our own website for that particular program. People can donate online. And remember, donations to the WASMA Center are tax deductible.
So there you go. That's always a good thing. Dan, thanks for coming in today. My guest today, Dan Prinzing, Executive Director of Idaho's WASMA Center for Human Rights. Always good to talk to you.